Welcome to the podcast book, Walking in Faith, written and read by Tim Greenwood. Episode 1, Chapter 1, First Things First. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him." You see, God is love. Psalms 86:15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and graciousness, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth." You see, God is full of compassion and mercy for you. Acts 10:34 says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And that's the truth, because God is no respecter of persons. Proverbs 11:23 says, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is only wrath." You see, God does only good. This is backed up in Luke 18:19. "And Jesus said unto him, Why do you keep calling me good? None is good except for Father God." You see, God did not put sickness on you. Is it God's will to heal you? Yes, it is. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, and it is God's will to heal you. How do I know that? I know that because His Word, the Bible, says so. Now, what you need to do is just to believe or have faith in what He's already said in that Word, and then learn to receive all the good things that He has for you, including your healing. Chapter 2. What about healing? When I first began to attend services in a church that practiced healing back in the late 60s, I heard a sermon one day on the subject of healing and anointing with oil. Now, I was sitting through this sermon with the pounding migraine headache, one of the many that I had had over the previous few months. After services, I thought I'd try it out and be anointed, like the sermon said. Immediately, the migraine went away, and I'm happy to say I've never had another migraine since. I was healed. I've been prayed for and anointed with oil many times since, for this and that. Up to that point, never anything really serious. Sometimes I received healing, and sometimes I didn't. It seemed to me that the more mature I became as a Christian, actually the less I received healing, and I found this somewhat confusing. Was it God? Was it me? Had I just lost my initial zeal? I didn't know the answer. Now, at age 45, I found myself being rushed into open-heart surgery. I recovered quickly and began to return to normal life, only to be rushed back into the hospital. Thereafter, dozens and dozens of tests, the doctors came in to give us the bad news. They said, "Mr. and Mrs. Greenwood, your surgery has failed. Where we did the heart surgery was too close to your heart to fix it, and the only thing that we can offer you is a heart transplant." Now, I won't go into all the reasons, but I turned down the heart transplant, and they told me that, well, if that's your decision, then we have no other option but to send you home. Basically, what they did was they sent me home to die. Through this experience, I've had to heavily focus on the subjects of faith and healing. I came to understand that sometimes God would heal us on the faith of another person. Now, this is how I'd been healed in all previous occasions. I believed that this worked so that I could see that healing by faith actually worked. At this time, I really didn't understand that there was even any benefit to having my own faith, because I'd always depended on the faith of the minister or on the faith of the other people that I'd asked to pray for me. But now, for the first time in my life, the situation was truly desperate. In retrospect, at this point, I was spiritually dead. I had no faith of my own. The doctors had given me no hope. I didn't even know one healing scripture, not even one. So I went on a campaign and began to solicit the prayers of other people. And I was good at it. At one point, I had amassed over 1,000 people from my denomination and others that were praying for me. I had hands laid on me and I was anointed with oil 4 or 5 times by different preachers based on my desire to be healed and the faith of that minister that would lay hands and pray for me, plus the prayers of all these other people and my little understanding that, yes, God does heal people sometimes. It seems, however, that God will only heal on another's faith just so many times, just to get us started when we're baby Christians. And after this, when we should be matured, it seems like God expects us to be exercising our own faith. This is why I did not receive my healing sometimes. I knew that God could heal, and I knew that He does heal, but I wasn't sure that He was going to be healing me. In retrospect, I didn't understand anything about faith. I, like so many others, just thought I did. And then I began to learn some things about faith. You ready to learn those things? Chapter 3. What about faith? Note what Jesus said in Matthew 17:20. He starts out, "Verily," or "I'm telling you the truth when I say to you, if you," he's talking to you, "have faith as little as a grain of mustard seed." Now that's a seed about the size of a head of a straight pin. He said, "You," he's talking to you still, "shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place." Now that's King James English for, "Get out of my path that you're blocking my way and go jump in the lake." "And it shall remove," that in other words, the mountain will get out of your way, "and nothing, absolutely nothing shall be impossible to you." Isn't that awesome? How many of you tried this scripture out on one of your local hills or mountains, commanding it to move, and it didn't? I always thought this scripture to be a little odd, with Jesus seemingly rubbing our noses into how little faith we really had. But I came to find out that this was not the case at all. The focus is not on how little faith we have, but rather on faith itself and how to put faith to work for us. So that brings up several questions. Why did your hill or mountain not move? You see, this kind of thing has caused many to question what they call their faith. Is my faith my religious affiliation or denomination? Well, that can't be right, because Jesus said that we were supposed to have some quantity of faith, and an affiliation or a denomination would be a faith. Is my faith my personal set of beliefs? Well, that can't be right for exactly the same reason. Is my faith just my belief in a supreme being or that Jesus is His Son? Well, that can't be right either, because that would mean that we either have faith or don't have faith. And Romans 12:3 says that we've all been given the measure of faith. Well, then, is my faith supposed to be that God or Jesus can or will do something? Well, that can't be right either. So then what is faith? Where does it come from? How do we get it? How do we know if we already have any? And how do I use this thing called faith? Well, stick around for the answer. Chapter 4. What is faith? So what is this thing called faith? Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So where does faith come from? Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So do we have any faith? We've already read Romans 12:3, "For I say to every man that is among you to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man that measure," or the measure, "of faith." If we believe the word of God and have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and are reading this and hearing this word, then we do have at least the faith of a mustard seed. Yes, even if our measure is as tiny as that mustard seed, we do have enough faith. So then, why does the mountain not move? Because this scripture is an analogy. It's a very important analogy. Now, I'd been going to church and a student of the Bible for over 25 years before I understood this. What a revelation to realize that this mountain is analogous and symbolic of whatever seemingly large and immovable problem or even some terrible illness that is blocking your path of life. And this wonderful scripture tells us exactly what we are to do. You see, we're to get up and step up and face this mountainous problem and say, "Get out of my way and go jump in the lake." We're supposed to cast it out as if it were a demon in the power and name of Jesus. Mark 11:23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he said." In the next verse, 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Have what? You shall have whatever you said. Faith is not your religion. Faith is not a state of mind. Faith is more than believing in God or Jesus. Faith is more than believing that God or Jesus can or will or even has done something. Faith is believing that we already have what we said we were asking for. And the saying is just as important as the believing. Faith is belief that God has already done something because His Word said that He would or has. Because faith is believing and trusting the Word of God, the good Word of God, and then acting on that belief and trust. So real Bible faith is believing on what the Word of God says so much that you step out and act upon it. When I learned this, I immediately got a degree better, but I still kept experiencing some of the symptoms. I was sure that I was still missing something, so I kept looking until I found that answer. You see, faith is just not something that you have. It is something that you have to use. James 2:14-26 says that faith without corresponding actions is dead, ineffective, and useless. You've been listening to Walking in Faith, a book by Tim Greenwood. If you've liked what you've heard, please visit our website, timgreenwood.org, for more information about other books by Tim Greenwood, or just visit the Tim Greenwood page on Facebook and leave a comment about what you thought about the book.